Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Look at 2nd and 3rd John. These are little short letters right after 1st John, but this is God's Word. Starting in 2nd John and reading through 3rd John. "The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, in keeping with the command we have received from the Father. So now I ask you, dear lady, not as if I were writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, as you have heard it from the beginning, that you walk in love. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so you don't lose what we have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching but goes beyond it does not have God. The one who remains in that teaching, this one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home and don't greet him, for the one who greets him shares in his evil works. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greetings." And 3rd John, "To the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and are in good health, just as your whole life is going well. For I was very glad when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity to the truth, how you were walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. Dear friend, you are acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, since they set out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we can be co-workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have first place among them, does not receive our authority. This is why, if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome fellow believers, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Everyone speaks well of Demetrius. even the truth itself. And we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write to you, but I don't want to write to you with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Number of points as we look at this together. First of all, in both letters, he says, I have a lot more that I want to say to you, but I'm not going to try and do it with pen and ink. So why did he do this with pen and ink? Because this was urgent. First thing I want you to see about both of these letters is these were written because there were certain things that need to be said and they couldn't wait for a face-to-face meeting. Okay? In both letters, he says, I have a lot more I want to tell you, but I'll wait until I see you face-to-face. But he didn't wait to say this. Thank God, because therefore we have this, not just from John, but we have this from God. This is the word of the Lord. Second thing is I want you to see that in both of these letters, he is writing to encourage folks not to change their behavior. That is often the case in Scripture. But in both of these letters, the exhortation is not to change their behavior, not to stop doing the right thing that they're doing. Did you know you can start well and end badly? I have a lot of favorite videos, but one of my favorite YouTube videos is a runner who is leading the race. He is going to be first across the finish line. But he's been running for a long way. He may have been a bicyclist. I'm getting old. I can't remember. I think he's a runner. And he's following the camera truck. Okay? The camera truck has been going ahead of him the whole race, and he's following it, and he's used to having it in front of him. And so when he's almost to the finish line, the camera truck does what a camera truck has to do. It turns and gets out of the way so that the runners can cross the finish line and break the tape. Unfortunately, this guy followed the camera truck. And so the person who was in first place in the race, there's the finish line, and he goes, isn't that awful? Don't you feel for him? Well, it was just a race. But I know people who've done that kind of thing in life. They forgot the finish line is there. And they got focused on something else. And they got distracted. And they turned aside. And they blew it. John is writing to people who are doing the right thing, people who have believed the truth, people who are living for the Lord. And in both of these letters, he's saying to them, you're doing well, don't stop. Don't turn aside. Don't drop the ball now. John writes in 2 John, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Notice love and truth. Those two things are absolutely essential. They are absolutely intertwined, and you can't really have the fullness of one without the other. To the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that remains in us and will be with us forever. That is a beautiful promise. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. except through me. The truth is found in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. God's word is truth, and Jesus is the living word. So you cannot overemphasize the importance of truth. But you cannot overemphasize the importance of love. And if you think that you can love someone without being truthful, you don't understand love. Real love. God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God didn't like what was going on. God didn't approve of the world and the way things were. God loved the world. God loved us, and therefore he sacrificed. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Please get that. The Bible says we are to speak the truth in love. It's not enough just to speak the truth if you don't speak the truth in love. But it's not enough to love while resisting the truth. Because love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth in keeping with a command we've received from the Father. What were they doing? Walking in truth. Living in a manner that is consistent with what God says. So now I ask you, dear lady, not as if I were writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. The command God gave us is to love one another. What does that look like? Verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commands. If you look at the Ten Commandments, that hasn't been set aside by love. That is a description of what a loving life looks like. If you love, you don't steal. You don't lie. You don't commit adultery. You don't murder. If you live a life of love, it is consistent with God's commands. So, people who think, oh, just, you know, forget about all that, just love. Well, yeah, love, but know that if you really love, it's going to be a life of holiness. It's going to be a life of sacrifice. It's not going to be just doing whatever feels good in the moment. Love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, as you've heard it from the beginning, that you walk in love. Our life is supposed to be an expression of love because of the love that God has shown for us. We love him because he first loved us. Years ago, when I was engaged to be married to Mrs. Wood, I became concerned that she was so much in my thoughts. I was so focused on her that it might be distracting me from my walk with the Lord. And so I remember I was walking from the business office at Gordon College, where I just paid another bill, back toward my dorm. And I said, Lord, you know that I love her, but I don't want anything to come between us. And so as much as I love her and want to marry her, if this is going to diminish my relationship with you, I don't want to get married. And you know what the Lord's response to me was? I mean, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was such a vivid, immediate response. God spoke to my heart, you can love me by loving her well. Let your love for your wife be an expression of your love for me. Man, it was like the burden was lifted. That God is actually pleased when we love others the way that he wants us to. We become a channel of his love. And that's what this is talking about. We are supposed to love others because God has loved us. And so if you want to please him, if you want to do what he says, love others. But you love them in the truth. You don't embrace lies and tell people they're fine. If a person is anorexic, it is not loving to agree with them that they need to lose weight. That's not love. That's cowardice. It's cruelty. And if a person has some other sin problem, and you decide just to act like, whatever, it's fine, you know, whatever seems right to you, that's got to be okay. No, it doesn't. We're to love one another. We're to walk in love. But that is not something that's opposed to the truth. It is the reason why the truth is so important. And he says in verse 7, there are many deceivers who've gone out into the world not confessing the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This was a heresy that was rampant in that day because it seemed inconceivable to many people that God would actually become a man. And so they believed that Jesus was just appearing to be a man. He looked like a man. He fooled people into thinking he was a man, but he wasn't really a man. It was essential that God become a man because that was the only way that our sins could be paid for. As a man, he could die on the cross. And to deny that was not just a mistake in theology. It was a manifestation of the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what he says. Anyone who doesn't remain in Christ's teaching but goes beyond it does not have God. Then he says, if anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this teaching, don't receive him into your home and don't greet him, for the one who greets him shares in his evil works. Now, that is a very interesting statement in light of what comes in 3 John, which is this bad guy who is not only refusing to welcome fellow believers, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. Here he says, if a person who's a false teacher comes, don't accept them into your home, or you're participating in their sin. In the very next thing, he's complaining about somebody who refuses to accept people into their home and participate with them and seeks to ban others from doing it after he has banned folks from not receiving false teachers. So should we just be hospitable to everybody, or should we realize that maybe there's a little contradiction here? There is no contradiction here. What's going on is that these folks understood the importance of fellowship and hospitality. And he's not talking about entertaining strangers as being a bad thing. He's saying if a person is a false teacher, if a person claims to be a follower of Christ, but is promoting lies instead of the truth, cut them off. You're not to have anything to do with them. But there are other folks who will cut off those who proclaim the truth. They're hostile toward the truth. They believe that to speak what God says is hate speech. It's wrong. You can't go there. You can't say that. You can't do that. And so they don't want to. I was actually invited to speak to a youth group by the youth pastor at a church in North Carolina when I was a teenager. I'd led some folks to the Lord, and they were excited about Jesus. And so their youth pastor found out and invited me to come and speak. I said, great. I wasn't allowed to speak. I'm really compressing this story. But I met with the youth leader and I said, what's going on? What's the matter? He said, you have caused division in our youth. I said, I'm so sorry. What happened? He said, some of them are now claiming to be born again. And I said, yes. And he said, how do you think that makes the others feel? You know why these folks are claiming to be born again? They've been born again. How do you think it made the others feel? Like maybe they needed to be born again? Guess who wasn't born again? The youth pastor. Let me tell you something. There are folks who are hostile toward the truth, and they will try and stop the truth from spreading. So in 3 John, he writes to his dear friend, whom, notice the description, whom I love in the truth. Does that sound like something in 2 John? Love and truth. He says, I was very glad when fellow believers came and testified to your fidelity to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. What was the emphasis in the previous letter? Walking in love. These are not opposed to each other. They are unified. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. And then he describes the fact that Gaius is blessing missionaries who come through, and not only providing them with hospitality while they're there, but sending them on their way with support. And the result is, he says, we can be co-workers with the truth. You invest in the ministry of others who can go where you're not able to go. I can't be more than one place at a time, but I can help others to be in places I can't go. And then he says, there's a guy, Diotrephes, who loves to have first place. He's an arrogant guy, and he does not receive our authority. So this is a fellow who is resisting the authority of the apostles, and therefore the authority of God's word. And he says, this is why if I come, I'm going to remind him of the works he's doing, slandering us with malicious words. He's the one who's been trying to ban the good folks and keep others from entertaining them. Dear friend, don't imitate what's evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius, everyone speaks well of him, even the truth itself, and we also speak well of him, and you know our testimony is true. What's he doing here in this short letter? He's telling his friend, you need to stand for the truth. To walk in love means to walk in the truth. Don't ever try to separate the two, and don't let anybody else con you into thinking that it doesn't matter about whether or not it's true. We just need to love. That is a popular lie that is spreading through churches today. And it is a lie. And it is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't fall for it. Do not fall for it. Love and truth are not enemies. Love and truth are inseparable. You can't have one without the other.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearsvalleyrant.org.